your business, not your capital raise.
Okay,
radio.
That's perfectly fine.
So welcome to Spec Talk Radio, the Southeast Private Equity Communities radio show where entrepreneurs and investors tune in to hear about exciting entrepreneur opportunities, and entrepreneurs learn about how to go to market and raise capital. Okay. I know you didn't get enough of that song, so the system decided to play it again. This is Karen Rands, the host of Spec Talk Radio, and this is we're kicking off our second show of 2009 by doing a review of the investor event that we hosted last week with the Network of Business Angels and Investors. It's a membership community of high net worth, sophisticated, and accredited investors that come together to review interesting investment opportunities, and we meet on a monthly basis, and members and invited guests are encouraged to attend. And interestingly enough, given the tight economic times that we are in right now, and people wondering, it's been interesting, the new investors that have decided to join in, as well as old investors coming back. So we had a good event for the very first time for this year, and today we're going to talk to some of the companies that participated in that event, as well as some of the investors that I believe are going to call in to share their comments. And first on our agenda today is Chris Moreau from Kids Toys. Now, this is an exciting company in the Atlanta area. You know, they're always people are within our community are always wondering if we can get really big companies with great innovative technology and great products to get to market and get the capital that they need to grow and be wildly successful and kind of put Atlanta on the mark. And I think this company, Kids Toys, is going to be one of those types of companies. And so with me here today is Chris Moreau, the CEO for Kids Toys. Welcome, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. I appreciate you having me on your show.
So tell our listening audience, give us your first start off with your elevator pitch on what are you doing with this you know, interesting company, tell us what you're doing.
Well, you know, obviously we are a toy company first and foremost, but we're taking toys to the next generation by integrating, you know, really what kids are looking for, which is high-tech solutions, and what parents are looking for, which is safety and traditional-based toys. So it's taking traditional toys and allowing them to interact with them on the Internet in a 3D virtual world.
Right. That was one of the things that came up in the event. It was hard for some folks to kind of understand why a 3D virtual world was important. So I've got my thoughts on that, but you're the expert, so tell us why 3D in an online gaming community is important to kids today.
I think it's where, you know, the technology is changing so much, and as the gaming industry has become more and more sophisticated, it would be a comparison like the old Atari 2600 versus the PlayStation consoles that are selling now, and the experience the kids are expecting and demanding is to have it as realistic as possible. And the virtual technology and the engines that exist out today allow us to deliver just that and have them, you know, feel like they're actually interacting with technology that they can relate to. So the toy takes on a perspective that looks very realistic online. So it looks just like they're playing with it physically, but they're able to manipulate and alter it in a digital aspect.
Absolutely. I compared it when folks were asking some questions. It's sort of like, you know, the traditional online game communities that kids have sort of flocked to over the last couple of years have been, you know, like Penguin, the Club Penguin, and, you know, the Webkinz environment. But then they seem to always want to get involved in an Xbox game or Wii game because of the 3D kind of environment. They feel like you're in the game, you can see all the characters move in all different directions, and it's much more dynamic. And in seeing sort of samples of when you played that video, your game is as exciting as anything that I've seen in the Wii world from the way that the graphics and the just the interaction and the voices, the animation, everything about it is just it you know, top notch.
Yeah, it's we're fortunate to have a talented team of engineers who have about the same level of animation quality as you would find in a Pixar or Lucas, you know, studio, somewhere like that. And we compete heavily in the recruitment of that type of talent. So, and you're right, the kids today are demanding to get away from the 2D sensations, and because of being spoiled on what the Wii has done and the Xbox and PlayStations of the world, they're kind of requiring that level of experience. So when they see something less than that, like the Club Penguins and the things you see on the webcams and stuff like that, those experiences engage them early on, but they tend to not create the longevity that's necessary, you know, for a company to grow properly.
So now you're the product is not yet on the shelves, is that correct? But really close to being on the shelves.
Yeah, it's targeted. We're looking at a second quarter release for the product, and we haven't, you know, disclosed the details of the release yet, but that'll be coming out shortly. We'll be announcing that. We'll have a press release on exactly where these can be purchased, but it's scheduled for domestic release starting second quarter, and either in fourth quarter or first quarter of next year will be the international release in the Indian and Asian markets.
Okay, so now you've spent how long? I mean, because I know the difficulty it is to create just a regular game that has this kind of richness to it. How long has your team been working on putting this in gaming environment together, and how long has the development cycle been on that?
Well, we've been engaged for about 2 years on both the technology as well as some of the, you know, our patented technology and as well as the gaming technology. So it has been an intensive process, but not just the development cycle. It requires us spending a lot of time with kids and parents and making sure we're, you know, hitting our three initiatives, which is innovation, safety, as well as education. And that creates a really complex outlay when you're designing and developing this stuff, because it's important that we cover that gamut every time we, you know, turn the bolt, as they say, in this design facet. We need to make sure that those three initiatives are always covered.
Right. So what you just said, something that is so critical to, I think, for many entrepreneurs' success, and you know, when investors are involved, for their comfort level that a company really knows what they're doing, they're creating a product that's going to, you know, knock it out of the ballpark, is that you have gone to your customer base in advance and got validation that you're designing the right kind of product that meets their needs.
Absolutely. And we continue to do that. We've been doing that for over a year now, being in the field with it, but we've also are in a continuous process of doing that, you know, as we continue to increase this experience for the children. And our, you know, just like we've aligned our board of advisors, some of the leading industry experts and you know, people who are in their field of expertise know this stuff, and they're brought in here to help guide that educational experience and make sure that what we're providing from a play experience and educational experience is what kids are going to want and what parents are going to want, I should say. And then, of course, the gameplay has to be tested with the kids to make sure it's going to keep them engaged both short-term and long-term. And that's probably the biggest challenge in the toy industry, is that long-term engagement with most toys is not even there, including the point of even a video game itself. And that's a challenge that everyone's going to have in this space, is trying to get that creativeness to keep those kids engaged for the long period of time.
Well, sure, because a lot of games and such are designed where, you know, it's a transaction. They buy it one time. But you've designed this, so, and I think this is what you said during your presentation, that that's one of the reasons why it's so appealing to the retailers and they've responded so strongly, is because you're created an environment that makes the kids want to go back to the store to get another toy that gives them access to other parts of the game. So explain a little bit about how that works, how the kids unlock aspects of the games, and how those revenue streams work.
Well, in general, the basics of our concept is to keep a tight relationship with the parents and children having, you know, I'd say educational reasons to keep driving the children to buy additional components of the game so that they can enter different parts of the world, and it creates a marketing advantage, allowing us to have a real strong relationship with the retail and the consumer to keep an ongoing thing. Now, this is nothing obviously unique. There's been a lot of models that are done like this, and the very successful models, Thai Beanie Babies, Webkinz, things like that. And we've just kind of leveraged that as, you know, one of probably hundreds of different aspects of our business model, but it's a proven successful model, and it'll keep the kids engaged for the long period of time that, you know, that's necessary for any success in a company.
Right, because I know I have a daughter who went through a phase with all of her friends where every birthday that any of them had, they all had to have Webkinz, you know, and it was, and their model was you gave you a year access to their website and their game environment, and then when you bought another one, you got add-on time, so to speak. And so, but yours is much richer in that, in that they get additional function with different types of toys.
Yeah, there's a twist to it, and we're not publicly taught, you know, going to engage the details of that model, because that's kind of going to go out with the press release, how we were, you know, launched the product line and stuff, because we have a whole storyline behind our, you know, toys. There's a trilogy that's going to be released in conjunction with the model we're doing. And that's, so we don't want to take the excitement or the surprise of the element of what we're doing here for the kids. But in general, there is a, we've got, you know, 12 characters on our Kids Pal line that's going to be launched to start building this story and to create this very, very tight relationship in identifying the children with the environment. And, you know, the characters are kind of set up with everyday kids, you know, in different situations, so that, you know, there's something that every child can identify with.
Okay. Well, I hope I didn't reveal too much am I asking that
nope.
question.
Not at all.
Okay, well, good. But it is important, because one of the things that entrepreneurs need to always think about, and you've done, is where are your different revenue streams, and you have a rich revenue stream that builds on repeat behavior. People always want a client or a company that is going to have either add-on revenue streams or upsell revenue streams, and you've really figured that out with your business model. So hats off to you on that one.
Yeah.
I want to give you an opportunity to talk about your background, because I was impressed with the richness of experience that has led you to this opportunity, and then also talk a little bit about your advisory board that's so stellar.
Yeah, I have obviously I come from a strong corporate background. I left corporate about 10 years ago as a former CTO for Blockbuster Entertainment, and been responsible at that time frame for building you know, the largest data warehouses in the world. And so I had a lot of, you know, success in dealing with, you know, these types of environments and systems, and always have been on the, you know, leading edge of technology. So this is very much in my court of interest of what I've been doing for years. I left corporate, I guess, 10 years ago. I've been a serial entrepreneur building companies throughout, you know, the Dallas and Atlanta market. And, you know, and this is something I never envisioned myself in a toy industry. But obviously, it's an industry that lacks this type of innovation and technology. So it makes sense that this, again, would be a cutting-edge type technology play. And, you know, many have tried it, I think, and have not had the grand success that, you know, could be done there if it was thought out. And, you know, back to your revenue streams, which I don't want to, you know, cause to help other entrepreneurs and stuff understand that it is extremely important. And in our model, we have probably about 20 different revenue streams to ensure the success of this and the longevity of this company. And you're absolutely right, because if you're relying on one single revenue stream in any business model, it's almost a death ticket if something goes wrong with that. So it's imperative that any entrepreneur be focused on having multiple revenue streams. And it's obviously you're there as an entrepreneur to protect the interest of the investors as well, and that kind of ensures that from happening.
So can you talk a little bit about some of your advisory board or other members of your management team?
Absolutely. The co-founder of our company is Ashley Johnson, and we came up with this concept about 2 years ago. Just kind of, we had other business ventures and our other companies we were involved in and kind of befriended each other. But he has his master's degree from Georgia Tech in architectural engineering and happens to be kind of a nuts and bolts guy. So when we got into this, we had my corporate background in combination with his operations background was an extremely good fit in launching this company. And I think that's instrumental on the success we've had. Since then, we've brought on different MBA level people to come in and help structure into the rapid growth of this company, you know, such as Ben Armour, who's he's got his MBA from Emory University, and as well as we've got a gentleman on corporate development, Merle, who's actually focused on work out in India for our India expansion. Brian Henson has come in here as well to help us with expansion of our other vertical practices, which we haven't announced yet. But clearly, with this, the depth of our management team is second to none. Our advisory board is just as impressive. We've got Hall of Famers such as Phil Niekro, who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Warren Johnson, who is a Hall of Famer for the Pro Star Car Drag Racing. These are people who are guiding, and we align our advisory board up with the product line. So someone like Warren Johnson is actually focused on our Kizmoto brand, which is that product line there has to deal with cars and automobiles and things like that. So he's an expert in that industry who helps us ensure that the education is in place. And someone like Phil Niekro would be involved in our Kizsports line to allow us to, you know, guide us and stuff on that side of it. So we're not getting into the details. The Kizmoto is publicly known. The other product lines, we haven't really announced the details of those yet, but these guys are instrumental to help guide the future of those product lines.
Okay, that's terrific. So now can you talk about some of the response that the retail marketplace has had as a result of the trade shows and the different things that you've done?
Well, the one thing, you know, I don't want to get into is obviously the particulars, but I will say that I think the retail buyers have been absolutely floored by our business model, and I think they strongly believe that this is a model that, for the first time in 40-plus years, allows an extreme amount of turnover in the retail community. And in the past, that's been a big struggle because a lot of this stuff from our competitors, the major competitors, actually just sits on the shelf and collects dust, and they have an issue of product only moving during peak seasons like the November-December time frame. So a model like we've introduced to them has allowed them to expand the horizon of throughput and getting product to get off the shelves quicker. And I think that's what's really got these retail giants to engage. And as well as we've gotten into verticals that we'll be announcing shortly that are not common to the toy industry at all, but it's allowed us to expand into markets that formerly our retail competitors, or not retail, I'm sorry, manufacturing competitors have not been able to get into. And I think that's due to the lack of innovation in this industry, which is, you know, it's one of the worst innovative industries in the world is the toy industry, less than 1% innovation factor. So clearly what our whole goal here was and how we got into growing this is to making sure that we could expand in this industry in an innovative factor and benefit our retail partners and making them money as well in the way of doing that.
Well, it sounds like, Chris, you really bring a great deal of experience in this marketplace and building strong companies, and you've done all the things right in building a very compelling product and the way that you can bring value to your shareholders as well as the marketplace and your retail partners. So I'm excited to be a part of assisting you in that path, and can't wait to hear the official announcement of this being available in the market. And I'm just sure that my daughters and all her friends are all going to be all over it, and this will be the next thing I have to do for every birthday coming up, you know. So, which will be a good thing. So, now, are you taking where people can come to your website and they can kind of get into a pre-announced list or see some kind of a demonstration of how this is going to work? Is there any kind of pre-information so people can be on the watch list of when this is available? Or
we will be putting up a there's a club site that's going to be going up, which will probably be going up here within the, I'd say the next month or so. But as far as getting a preview of everything, the best thing to do is to go to the website. It's www.kiztoys, which is K-I-Z, like zebra, T-O-Y-S.com. And they can take the tour off the main screen. And that tour does a fairly good job of setting up the storyline of what this environment's all about. And we'd recommend that, you know, they do that. And like I said, it's and they just keep checking back with the site, and we'll have that ability to sign up and get the announcement of where what stores this is going to be launching in very soon.
Okay, terrific. So, and then if there are any investors listening, you can give me a call if you want. We are doing a follow-up investor briefing this coming Thursday at the Kids Toys offices, and you can call me at 678-222-3473, 678-222-3473 to find out the details of how to be included in that meeting and to get more information about this great company and where you're going. So, Chris, thank you so much for calling in. Any final comments that you'd like to share with our audience?
I would like to say, you know, Karen, it's been a joy working with your organization, and I would recommend that anybody who's, you know, on the other aspect of it as an entrepreneur, get engaged with you and learn more about it. It's been a great process and a good privilege to work with you.
Thank you so very much. And we're going to switch over to some of the other callers that called in now. And so thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Karen. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next up on our show, we have Sandra Brown and from the Lovely Hands organization. Sandra, are you there? Let's see. Sandra, there we go, Sandra.
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, Sandra participated in our event as what we call a table company. She's in preparation for being a full presenter at the at an upcoming event. So wanted to give you an opportunity to come on the show and talk a little bit about your company and where you're going with it and what's unique about Lovely Hands. So give us your elevator pitch.
Well, thank you very much.
Lovely Nails. I'm sorry. Is somebody's Lovely Nails?
That's correct. And I thank
okay.
you very much. I surely enjoyed Ms. McAdams and I, presentation event that you allowed us to participate in. That was really, really very helpful, and we thank you and your company very much.
Sure. My pleasure.
All right. We enjoyed presenting the hand, which is a very innovative tool. The manicure training device is now a patent implement to be used in the cosmetology field, and we are waiting for it to go worldwide to become innovative training system for one standard method of teaching. This world of cosmetology and nail technicians need one set uniform method of learning, and this is what this tool is about. It has interchangeable fingers, as you saw at the program. They can learn many different techniques, and that is the uniqueness of this particular hand and the fact that it became a patent product because of that.
Okay, so now how long have you been in the process of getting this this hand together, and you know, what inspired you to go, because most people wouldn't think about, you know, designing a hand that can be used in the manicurist space. So
absolutely. Well, it's because of my background. I am a licensed nail technician and also a licensed nail instructor. Ms. McAdams is a cosmetologist, and she's a master in her field also. And both of us owned salons at one time, and it was very difficult to find trained people to come in and help in the salon, because what they needed was more experience. So when I would bring the students in from the schools to begin to work on my clients, I found they could not work effectively, quickly, or even handle the client. So I realized, really, they needed more experience. The word practice, practice, practice makes perfect is exactly why I invented the hand, so they would have a tool that they could use to practice on.
And so how are you going to take this to market? Do you have folks, I mean, your own network that you're going to be able to get to these schools, or how will this product get into the market?
Yes, there is a very strong internet for this use of the tool. In fact, we find the nail industry is a $4.5 billion industry, and that's just right here in the United States. Training for spas and other salons has become a mega business where there is really no one helping to train the technicians. So we're with a program that puts out advertisements that go to trade shows. We also sponsor events in schools, and in this manner we plan to get this product into the community schools and into the national schools by internet, and also by developing DVD services and blogs and plugs and, you know, all of that, so we can come right before them and I'll be able to train them right off from the beginning.
Oh, okay. And that's that's probably a bigger industry than many people expect that it is. How many people go through manicurist training a year, do you know?
Yes, on average, it is about 100,000 students that go through the schools. And this is cosmetology industry that now has spun off to a nail industry. I have also been approached, and I might as well say, by a franchise that would like to see this hand taught around the country, one method teaching where the students can learn through an interchangeable fingers the process and learn it quickly. And this is what the problem is. There's just not one united way to teach this service. And that helps in my situation, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to alert the whole process of cosmetology about the use of this product.
And so now, With using this as a manicure, I mean, the reason why they need something like this is it's more like a real hand versus, you know, what's out there now, which is just sort of like a hard plastic hand or something?
Yes, that's correct. The hands out now are very rigid, and they're not flexible, they're not movable. This hand has an angle, it has a socket, it has a support, and it's mounted on the wrist. The end has a shaft that extends, and it moves it from side to side, just like a natural hand would be, and it's called anatomically correct. So, yes, it has many teaching elements. This mold could also contribute to being more accurate when using the testing of cosmetology students so that they could pass and get their license, because this is now a process that requires a state license in all states.
Okay. Well, I'm backing up here on my switchboard, so I appreciate you so much for calling in and being a part of our event earlier this week, and looking forward to continuing to work with you, Sandra.
Well, I thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to it also.
Okay, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, next on the air with us is Carl Lane from International Acquisition Holdings. Welcome, Carl.
Hi, Karen. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific.
Great.
So now you're unique in that you are sort of a serial entrepreneur, but you actually came to our event with the investor hat on and the consultant hat on of helping companies get to a point that they're more investable. So explain a little bit about your background and how you go about helping companies by putting some of your assets in them and then getting them to the point that they are more investable by other investors.
Sure, I'll be glad to. But first of all, let me say thank you for such a wonderful program that you put on. Thank you for the services that you're providing other companies and giving them the proper avenues and the proper starts to get their product out to the public. I think you're doing a great job. and I appreciate the camaraderie. I appreciate the opportunity to meet and talk and greet other people, and the opportunity to help them to put their best foot forward. And in so doing, that leads me to what service I provide or assistance I can provide, and that is from my background of 20 years in the banking and investment banking business, international trade and finance, we have the unique, the opportunity to structure companies to be viewed upon as being viable in the eyes of other investors. The structure of the company is in such a way that the corporation itself is structured to offer shares or equity finance, and in so doing, you're building up what are called the footings of the company, or paid-in capital. Once you have sufficient paid-in capital, the company can then offer its debt financing, which would be amenable to an even larger market of investors. They have the safety of the footings or the foundation of the company, sufficient paid-in capital, and the ability to offer debt financing in the form of notes and bonds that can be placed on an international market to satisfy international needs. Along with the bonds and the debt side, the company can also offer sinking fund opportunities, which would then guarantee pretty much the return of the principal of the loan amount, whereas in sufficient terms, whereas the principal is paid at the end of a particular period of time, say 5, 10, 15 years, the principal is paid back by virtue of the sinking fund, and the company can then focus on its business itself in generating positive cash flow to take care of the annual interest payment, if those terms so call for.
So now sinking fund doesn't actually sound good. So put that in layman's terms as to what that means to.
Right, the sinking fund.
I don't want to sink. I want to float. I want to soar.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, but actually, the sinking fund itself is a positive term. In other words, as your debt diminishes, it is sinking. All right.
I see.
Therefore, the debt side is sinking, and the equity side, or the positive cash flow side, is floating. And so you're showing a conscientiousness of the debt being eliminated or mitigated and eventually eliminated over a certain period of time, and it gives the investor, both the equity side and primarily in this case the debt side, an exit strategy that would be prosperous to all parties.
Okay, and so one of the things I know that it's that we always talk about, particularly with really early stage companies, is you got to build your balance sheet that it looks really good to an investor that's coming in, particularly when you're dealing with business and angels that we call them, people that are in the business of investing. So this is a way to help build the balance sheet, but also you have a way that you put assets from your publicly traded company into the company that helps them build their balance sheet as well?
Yes, ma'am. What we'll do is we will take our personal holdings, not personal holdings, but our corporate holdings, which are other publicly traded companies and privately placed companies, take some of those assets, those stocks, and place them on the in exchange for equity in the target companies and boost their bottom line or the value of their shares. And it the assets will stay on the books for at least 3 to 5 years. No one's looking to liquidate anything. We stay with the company that we invest in, and we will make sure that they are structured to go to the next level, which is the debt side, and once again implement certain patterns of positive cash flow as well as sinking fund activities, so as to protect the investor as well as the invested funds.
Right. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much. We're looking forward to working with you often in the future as we work with some of these early stage companies, and we see that as a real need to beef their balance sheet up so they can be attractive to the investors. And looking forward to having you help us get some of these companies funded.
Thank you so much.
Some of these alternative and creative programs.
Thank you so much. And once again, I kudos to you and your staff for putting on such a wonderful organization.
Okay, thank you. Before you leave, tell folks how they can reach you if they want to get more information about your programs.
Sure. My email address is IAHINC, that's N as in Nancy, trade@gmail.com. And my phone number is 404-766-2144.
Okay, great.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Carl. Look forward to talking to you again. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, next on the air with us today is another innovative company that was one of our presenting companies. I believe we have Cameron Crest here.
Yep.
Is that you, Cameron?
Yeah.
Okay,
how's
Joseph on the line with you too?
Yes, I'm on here as well.
Okay, great. These guys are with Play Golf Planet, and if there's anybody out there that likes to play golf or anybody who understands how big and rich the golf community is, I mean, meaning that there's lots of people out there and there's a lot of money, advertising money spent towards attracting golfers, they're going to get exactly what these guys, Cameron and Joseph, are doing with Play Golf Planet. So start off, guys, by telling our listeners what Play Golf Planet does and what is the secret sauce. What's the sizzle there?
Okay. Play Golf Planet is a true business-to-consumer network, social network that it gives the golfers the ability to find any golf course anywhere in the world and book their tee time online right from our site at a discount. Gives them the ability to find and book golf travel packages. Gives them the ability to buy and sell golf equipment, interact with other golfers, find golf partners to play with, blog about golf equipment, all of the normal social features that you would imagine. On the other side of the fence, it's a marketing solution for the golf courses in that it gives the golf courses, which have around 50% of their tee times on average go unused or unbooked, gives them the ability to fill those unused tee times and drop straight direct profit into their golf course, into their business, by filling those unused tee times.
In essence, we're creating a competitive platform for golf courses to compete for the golfer's business. And their amenities, their features, they can offer any incentives, discounts, events to entice those golfers to play their course and market it on our site at the same time.
Okay, now I think one of the things you talked about, this is a real problem for these golf courses. You know, they're kind of sort of stuck in the 19th century, if we will,
right,
or at least 20th century in the way they go about attracting golfers to play.
Right.
I mean, if golfers don't play, they don't make money, right? So how are you helping them get into the 21st century by becoming a part of Play Golf Planet?
Yeah, that's something that golf courses haven't really specialized in is developing innovative ways to attract new golfers to play their course and, promote their course to the existing golfers that have played their course before to offer them incentives to come back to the course and basically have a customer service program set up. They've been lacking for many years, and, you know, just now they're getting into the web scene. The old school way of doing things, they basically have been promoting their course in newspaper magazines, radio spots, different travel destination magazines to try to promote their course, and this simply doesn't work because it's not targeted advertising. Golfers aren't looking in the newspaper to find deals on golf courses. They're basically, you know, old way of doing things. And then our model allows them to tie into that at their discretion. It's totally up to them. So if they have an opening from 12 to 200 books and they want to fill those spots, they can discount the rounds and then promote it to golfers in that community, basically. So.
Okay, so then how do the golfers benefit from participating in Play Golf Planet as this kind of a social community?
Well, it's a one-stop shop for golfers. And our focus on developing this site was to give them multiple things for their golfing game. So to keep them coming back for multiple reasons. We have, you know, fresh content for the PGA Tour news. Of course, they can search for golf courses, book travel packages, buy and sell golf equipment, and then the social ability to meet other golfers across the country, track all their stats online, track their handicap. So it's a multifunction website and keeps driving golfers back to the site. So, you know, that was our main focus in developing this. So it benefits them financially and gives them a tool for their passion, which is golf. And they keep coming back to the site. For example, if they play their home course in their town, ABC Golf Course, they play it once a month. And they typically would call the golf course and reserve a tee time. Our system allows them to use Play Golf Planet as a tool because ABC Golf Course could post an incentive for any particular day. So they're going to, you know, rather than calling the golf course and paying full price for that tee time spot, they would go to our site just because they could, you know, get a better value at that tee time spot.
Okay, but then also they can look and see what's available at neighboring golf courses, and
right. If
they're traveling someplace, you know, that's one of the big challenges. Not sure, you know, you go to a resort and you play the golf course on the resort, but down the road might be a golf course that's even better or not as expensive or
exactly. Something
like that you really wouldn't know anything about.
Right, and you know, and that's the uniqueness of this model is we have a custom travel package book they can view. If I've never been to a destination before, say I want to go, I'm going to Vegas for a couple of days, and I don't know the area, I've never played the golf courses before, I can go on Play Golf Planet, view multiple golf courses in the area, find out what their type, you know, their amenities are, what their pricing are, if they're offering any promotions or incentives, and then customize my trip. If I'm there for 3 days and I want to play 3 days of golf, I can play golf at ABC Golf Course, I can play golf at the Wynn, I can play golf at Eagle Brook. So you can customize it based on the amenities. We also have a feature that we're doing is a 3D animation company. And basically we've taken the technology from golf course architects and 3D rendering companies that basically shows the layout of the golf course. So a golfer, it's a cool, unique application because it gives them basically an inside look at the course before they play the round. So they can find any golf course, find out all their amenities, all their pricing, and customize it to their budget, basically.
Okay, your biggest competitors, who do you see? Because, you know, obviously the golf courses don't really have other options. I mean, there's maybe local things that they might be able to go to, kind of similar to the way we have this I can't even remember the name of it, but where you can reserve seats at restaurants, but so there might be a local solution, but on a national and even international basis, you know, you're going to end up having a lot of golfer eyeballs come to you. That is great opportunity for advertisers. So when you look out there in the landscape of folks that have online golf communities, is there anybody that really competes with you on this?
Yes and no. Nobody really competes in this for the ability for the golf courses to communicate directly with the golfers. Nobody has really developed that yet. Our closest competitor for tee time booking capability is a company called GolfNow.com. They've been around since 1995, and basically what they do is wholesale both tee times and packages and then sell them on the marketing site. And the problem with this is they only have 800 golf courses out of the 12,000 public golf courses in the United States, and they're the number one booking engine. They claim to have booked 1.8 million rounds last year out of the 500 million in the United States. So this is, you know, still an open market for booking tee times directly online. So they actually just got bought by Comcast for $40 million. And the main reasons Comcast bought them was the golfer demographic. And, you know, because the average household income for a golfer is over $120,000 a year. So they wanted those eyeballs. And the difference, main difference between their model and our model is, first of all, they're a single function website. Golfers only go there to book tee times. They can't view any PGA Tour news. There's no community aspect of the site at all. They can't book travel packages. They can book tee times directly online. But the prices are what they are. And the golf course has no ability to change those pricings. Our model gives it up to the golf course. So they only sell the tee times that they want to sell. And they can, you know, develop new ways to promote their course and other amenities on the course that GolfNow can't do. Another competitor is GolfNow.com. Basically, they are a single-function website, and they provide PGA Tour news, just fresh content in the PGA Tour. They do really well at that because they have a lot of affiliate programs with the tour and great content, but they're a single function as well. And they're the number one trafficked golf site in the world. Their Alexa ranking is like 10,000. So that's where we want to be is, and in essence, you know, we're the one-stop shop for the golf industry. So golfers are going to be there for numerous reasons. So on that side of it, we don't have any competition in that side.
Okay. Well, where are you in the process? How, you know, when does this site go live, and how can people learn more about it if they are golfers and they want to get involved?
We have the site is will be launched March 31st. We're working with the programmers for several months. We have two web programming companies. We have a front-end aesthetic company that's doing all the development and the aesthetic look and the programming on the front side. Then we have a back-end programmers, and we'll be launched March 31st, and we'll be our VP of marketing just signed the Ginn Open, an advertising partnership with them for the Ginn Open. So we'll be in front of about 2 million golfers in April with that partnership that we signed with the Ginn Open. So we're pretty excited about that. We also have Scott Hoke as our PGA Pro, Scott Hoke as our spokesman. He's also on our board of advisors. So it's going to open up a lot of doors as far as the promoting of Play Golf Planet.
Wow, so you've got some major endorsements that are going to lead, and with the exposure at this Ginn Open, you're going to can your service handle all the people that are going to be coming to your site?
Well, scalability is a good issue to have. it's something, yeah, that we were basically designing the website to be able to handle that mass traffic, and the majority of our first round offering is going to be devoted on attracting golfers to promote the site. And yeah, scaling is a good issue to have, and we'll definitely be able to handle the traffic.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for calling in. We love having you at our event last week or earlier this week. And any investors that are listening in and want to get more information about Play Golf Planet, you can give me a call at 678-222-3473, because we're doing an online briefing and update for the investors that attended our event this coming Wednesday, I believe it is, through a webinar, through a GoToMeeting. So you can give us a call, and we'll get you the information on how to dial in for that. So thank you very much, Cameron and Joseph, Cameron Kress and Joseph Nemchek. Thank you for being a part of the event.
Definitely.
Anything you would like to say as you close out?
Anyone out there that wants to get involved in a hyper-growth company that's going to make them a lot of money, they need to get our business plan and start talking to us and seeing what Play Golf Planet is all about.
Okay, so great. All right, thank you so much.
Great.
And
thank
looking
you.
Forward to seeing you again soon.
Definitely.
Have a great
Thanks.
Weekend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Karen.
We got a couple other callers here. I've got a caller. I don't recognize this number. Extension 6088. Caller, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, this is Roger Reese.
Oh, hey, Roger. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Good. You must still be in Atlanta. I was expecting to have a different phone number for you.
Yeah, I did. Actually, as a result of your meetings, we've had some interest, and so I stayed over a couple extra days.
Oh, terrific. Well, good. All right. Well, tell our listeners about what you've got going on with a very, very innovative aircraft.
Certainly. Thank you. My name is Roger Reese. I'm the CEO of a company called Advanced Aero. We are a Florida corporation based out of Melbourne, Florida. We have taken advantage of some new regulations that were adopted by the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. Actually, in 2004, they adopted some European regulations, which kind of creates a new class of aircraft called light sport aircraft. In the industry, is referred to as LSA. And basically what it is it's a smaller aircraft that allows for less time to learn to fly because it's not quite as complex as other aircraft in different classes. It also is less expensive to enter into the aviation industry. I mean, the prices of the LSA aircraft have dropped, you know, two-thirds. You can basically enter into the LSA area for a third of the cost of a larger aircraft. We have developed an aircraft with a unique tail design called the A-tail. The A-tail basically is just like the name says. It's shaped like an A, but it because of that and it being one piece, it really lends to the strength of the aircraft. Because of the engine in our particular aircraft is in the rear of the plane instead of in the front, it's called a pusher, and all the thrust from the engine doesn't go over the aircraft frame, so it kind of creates a more efficient aircraft also. And it's a nice-looking aircraft. I mean, you know, there's a lot of engineers and pilots that have seen it, and as a matter of fact, we have over 400 people that have signed up on our website to become a position holder, which means they would like to buy the aircraft in the end. So where we are is we are, as I mentioned, a new company. We have a patented product, and we believe that we have got into the market at the right place, the right time, and we're really excited about it.
So that's it. So now that it is very exciting, and you've got there's a couple of other things that you had described about it because, you know, most people, I guess, in the aeronautics space are taking existing engineering and trying to downsize them to be in the space you serve, but you designed it from, you know, a clean slate.
Correct. Yeah, that's right, Karen. Basically, what has happened is the major plane manufacturers that most people know about, you know, people like Cessna and Beechcraft and a new entry in the last 5 years, Cirrus, they have just basically taken their larger aircraft and made them smaller. I mean, there's certain weight requirements under the LSA, which you can't have a plane weighing more than 1,320 pounds. Can't go over 120 knots, can't stall. I mean, stalls is 45 knots. And they've just basically dumbed down their aircraft. We have designed this aircraft from the ground up. It actually, the plane was originally designed as a glider, a motor glider. And then with the advent of the new changes in the FAA regulations, you know, we were able to become part of the initial aircraft designed under the LSA rules.
Okay, yeah, so that's very exciting where you're going. And so how is the product available in the market now? Are people putting orders in now?
We have a system on our website, which is advancedaero.net, where you can go and sign up, give us your information. We are not yet in production. I mean, as you know, we are basically a startup company. We are in the process of raising capital. We have a Canadian manufacturing company, a company called Zen Air, who will manufacture the airplane for us in Canada in in three pieces and ship it to their plant in Eastman, Georgia, a company called, which is a subsidiary there, is AMD, which will actually be the final assembly point where the interior, the cockpit, and the plane will be finally in the paint and everything will be finalized there. And so, you know, we have a very lucrative contract with them because most companies spend, you know, tens of millions of dollars in research and development and certification costs. We are very unique in the fact that we, for less than $1 million, we are able to get our prototype completed. And by the way, we do have a single-seat prototype that we've already flown, and it proves the concept of our ATEL design, and it actually has received FAA certification under as an experimental plane because we are not, you know, in a mass production yet. But in, you know, as soon as we are capitalized, and we've put a couple hundred thousand into the company through, you know, early investors, and so we have a contract now that will really get this thing cranking for very little bit amount of money in terms of the aviation industry.
Okay, so I'm excited that you were able to come and participate in our event. Sounds like you've got an exciting company and going over. I remember that first investor that we introduced you to. You know, one of these things that's interesting about our events, because we have lots of different types of companies come, is that, yeah, we fill out the profiles and we know, you know, we knew that guy had a background in telecommunications, so we know he likes networking and any of those kinds of, you know, telecommunications and connectivity types of deals. What we didn't know was that he was a pilot, and so he was immediately drawn to you to understand what you're doing, and it's those are the kind of things. That's sort of like the magic of these types of events, because by giving an opportunity to a company such as yourself to tell your story, you know, and meet with those folks, you find that emotional connection that might actually produce a strong relationship with an investor.
I mean, you're exactly right, Karen. I know that, you know, it was amazing because actually, and you may not have known this, but there were probably about four or five pilots that were at your meeting the other night. It was
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that.
It was an exceptional meeting. I thought that the companies there, you know, were well thought out and certainly have a lot of opportunity, you know, for investors. And, you know, we were very lucky to be able to come in at the last minute and show our product, and as you mentioned, I was referred last night to a group from one of your attendees to what's called EAA, which is a national organization, Experimental Aircraft Association, and I had a chance to talk with about 25 people last night, and then here again this morning, I came back from lunch with one of your longtime members. So I think you have a very good organization there, and I think it really feels a need in the industry.
Okay. Well, terrific. That's great. I'm so glad to hear that you had that kind of progress. So I've got one more person that I need to bring on the air here now. So thank you so much for calling in, Roger, and we're looking forward to having you be a part of our event, hopefully in February.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, too, Karen. And one thing I will say, just got news a couple of days ago that Scott Peresinski, who is a NASA astronaut, likes our program and our product so much that he just joined us as an advisor. He's been up in Space Shuttle three times. So
terrific news.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Karen. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, great. Our next caller that's on the air with us is John Dravenstock from Capital Strategies Group. John, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting us to be on your program and on your show.
That's right. Now, John is the similar job as I do, but he's really very involved in companies and helping them get their business model together and helping them really, you're very seasoned in this space of figuring out what a company needs and to get capital and going out there and getting capital. And we have a relationship now, and you brought one of your companies that you're working with to our event that was interviewed last week, as a matter of fact. That was, if anybody's interested in hearing that interview is on our website. But it's also on this Blog Talk Radio with Ventech. So welcome on the show now, John. And tell us a little bit about yourself, if that's why you're about your, you know, what you're doing and what your experience was at the event. And feel free to, you know, put a plug in for Ventech.
Okay. Capital Strategies Group does private investment banking work, but we also do a lot of work with early stage companies. And as Karen mentioned, we are not just we don't just shop deals or function as finders. We become a real strategic partner with our client companies and work with them on strategy, pulling the materials together, and then helping to raise capital. And Ventech was the client company that we brought to your venue, and we're very pleased to be able to do that. Angel investors tend to keep a low profile. They don't want to be inundated with business plans. And so your venue serves a very good purpose in screening companies and providing a forum for accredited investors. And we're particularly appreciative that you go beyond just a local perspective, but do include companies that may be a little further away, but would still be quite relevant to the Atlanta community there. So,
thank you.
I might just mention Ventech was the company that we brought to the program, and they have a very innovative heater for vehicles, not just automobiles, but school buses will be their first market where the need is very great. And can